Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Master Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 10th of December 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the island and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases, so just one case of C19 on the island. That's in non-community isolation. Temporary car parks look like bomb sites around Douglas. Management of the Manx Healthcare Services, that management will cost £3.5 million. Will a no-deal Brexit grill the Manx cheese industry? And the island says goodbye to the remarkable Hector Duff today. And of course, it's been another flume-free Thursday at the NSC, and there's fog on the mountain.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. First to my Rhiann Evans.
First to my. The identity of the body found on a beach in Ramsey has been confirmed by police as 50-year-old Lee Peel from Onchan. Officers are asking anyone with information to contact the Criminal Investigation Department on 631 212. Hundreds of people lined the streets earlier to pay their respects to Hector Duff. The 101-year-old Normandy veteran's funeral was held today at St. Peter's Church in Onchan. Structures being implemented to manage the island's healthcare services will cost more than £3.5 million per year. Manx Care's management board will be made up of 19 posts, 13 of which are new. Further afield, and coronavirus cases are rising in three regions of England but falling everywhere else. The highest rate is in London, while the East and South East have also seen weekly increases. Meanwhile, another 516 people have died in the UK after testing positive for COVID-19. Almost 21,000 new cases have been recorded, which is over 4,000 more than yesterday's figure. And EasyJet is trialling an at-home trolley service as the collapse in demand for air travel continues. Cabin crew will deliver free drinks and snacks to homes in London next week, and people will be asked to make a charitable donation to Age UK. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Enter the Man Benham Advent Calendar Draw. Just visit us on Facebook and answer the question. Man Benham, here for you this Christmas. Manx Radio weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Karamaya, thank you, Rhiann. A wet evening on a fresh to strong south or southeasterly. Intermittent showers through the night with down to 8 Celsius in the North Irish Sea. Strong winds forecast from the Ronald Sway Met Office. Jahenya, Friday, cloudy with periodic showers. Daytime maximum 9, the overnight minimum 6 into Saturday. Jasan, a damp start, then sunshine later on Saturday. Top temperature 8 Celsius. Tides on the way back in. High water 24 minutes before 8 tonight. Low water overnight 8 minutes past 2. High water tomorrow morning 7 minutes past 8. And the sun rises at 28 minutes past 8. School term ends a week tomorrow.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
Temporary car parks on brownfield sites in Douglas have been criticised for dragging the town down and stopping investment. Leases for the facilities are supposed to cease after 2 years. However, some temporary car parks have been operating in the capital for more than a decade. The council leader, David Christian, says they look like bomb sites and discourage development in the town. He spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
You have to start making a stance on this and ensure that some of these sites come forward to be developed properly. And by developing those sites, then we provide proper, adequate car parking within the town, i.e. multi-storey car parks.
These leases are supposed to be for 2 years. Why then have some of them got away with charging for parking on temporary, so-called temporary sites, for this long? Why can't you stop that?
It would appear from what the chairman said today that we do have some sites around the town that never actually received planning permission. They had permission to demolish the properties, no planning application has come forward, so they've been turned into temporary car parks, and it would appear that so much time has now gone by there's very little we can do. I'm sure that's being looked into by somebody else. That's disappointing if that is the case.
Parking is at a premium, though. It's often one of the key issues during an election campaign for local authorities, and you're taking car parks away.
Quite often the brownfield sites are cheaper than a multi-storey car park. You know, that's the one thing with a multi-storey car park. They do have overall running costs. You know, they are considerably higher than some of these level sites, and that's why, you know, you see car parks around the island where there's no charge at all. There's very little cost to putting a bit of tarmac down and some white lines compared to running a multi-storey car park with lifts and everything else that goes with that. So I fully understand that argument, but we need to look at the bigger picture. We need to look at the centre of Lower Douglas and how it is not being developed, and that's one of the reasons why we've always supported the development of the bus station site, because we believe a big site like that being developed will kickstart other sites in that area. Other people who own land in that area have actually come forward and have indicated that it'll just take one of those sites to start a development, and hopefully the others will follow suit. You know, something needs to change, otherwise we're going to see more and more buildings just demolished and people thinking, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I can't build it for another 2, 3, 5, 10 years or whatever, I'll just put cars on it and run as a car park. That just drags the town further and further down, and you know, I'm afraid it's got to come to a stop.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Managing the Isle of Man's healthcare services will cost more than £3.5 million per year. That's just managing them. New structures are being put in place as part of Manx Care, the board set up to run the health separately from the Department of Health and Social Care. Sean Cowper with the details.
Sir Jonathan Michael's review of the DHSC, published last year, recommended setting up a body outside the department to run the health services on the island. As a result, Manx Care is due to be fully up and running by April next year, with Chairman Andrew Foster, CBE, already appointed. Minister David Ashford was asked to publish more details about the management structure and budget, confirming the annual cost, including limited-term additional resources, will be £3,536,123. The proposed management structure of Manx Care would be made up of 19 posts, 13 of which are new, including 4 non-executive board members, a finance director and chief executive officer. 7 board subcommittees will oversee various aspects of Manx Care, such as finance, public and patient involvement, and workforce and culture. The leadership within the DHSC also gains 3 new directors, including a director of quality, safety and engagement. The department says the costs are estimated and are still undergoing review and refinement.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Good evening. It's 23 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. The Ben McCree departed Heysham at 6 minutes past 2. She's due in the next 10 minutes. No sign of her on the webcams at the moment. If you want to check the webcams in Douglas Harbour at manxradio.com, click on Community and all the webcams are there. 18 of them around the Isle of Man. Anyway, when she gets in, she'll be spinning around, leaving early tonight, 7 o'clock departure for the Ben McCree, arriving in Heysham at 11:15 tonight, and the overnight departure early too, at 12:30, back in Douglas at 4:15 a.m.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
An international games and casino firm could create jobs on the Isle of Man after it secured an e-gaming licence. 5D International had its application to the Gambling Supervision Commission approved in principle. The details from Ewan Gorn.
The company wants to establish a management and operations base on the island, covering functions such as compliance, administration and operations support. The business will now look to outsource some services to local firms, including hosting, accounting, audit, legal and marketing. 5D International was established in June 2020, stemming from the online gaming business Five Dimes, which was formed in Costa Rica in 1999. The former brought in global revenues of around $120 million in 2019. Manx professional services advisors Wilton played an instrumental role in 5D's bid for a license, it says. Managing partner Tony Flanagan says the company is proud to have supported the e-gaming firm in its application. He's described the move as an exciting opportunity for the Isle of Man, which grows its reputation in attracting companies in niche areas of e-gaming.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing.
It's 21 minutes before 6. The Swedish furniture giant IKEA IKEA, whichever way you want it, is turning the page and ending its iconic catalogue's 70-year run as it continues to shift to digital sales and marketing. At its peak in 2016, IKEA sent out 200 million copies of the catalogue in 69 different versions, 32 languages, to over 50 markets. And while many retailers have struggled during the pandemic, IKEA's sales have surged 45% in the 12-month period to the end of August as people worldwide converted their homes into virtual classrooms and remote workspaces during the pandemic crisis. Given the global competition between cities, the Global Power City Index evaluates and ranks the major cities of the world according to their magnetism, that being their comprehensive power to attract people, capital and enterprise from around the world. The GPCI does it through measuring six functions, providing a multidimensional ranking. The functions are economy, research and development, cultural interaction, livability, environment, and accessibility. And the GPCI looks at the strengths, weaknesses, and challenges of global cities in a changing world, not only through a ranking, but also through analysing that ranking's specific components. So the top 10 magnetic cities in the world at 10 Shanghai, 9 Hong Kong, 8 Seoul, 7 Berlin, 6 Amsterdam, 5 Singapore, 4 Paris, 3 Tokyo, 2 New York, and number 1, London.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks were muted as markets tracked the various and parlous state of the Brexit trade talks. The euro rose, oil rose as hopes of a faster demand recovery after the release of COVID-19 vaccines offset a huge rise in US crude inventories. Gold fell, and in corporate news, DS Smith were the highest riser as it reported a slide in half-year profits but resumed dividend payments. Ocado was in the red despite lifting its full-year earnings forecast. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up 0.5% at 6,599. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.33% at 13,295. Currently in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.2% at 30,021. The tech stocks index, the Nasdaq, up 0.5% at 12,409, and the S&P 500 in Chicago flat at 3,672. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 $32.9 and €1 $9.6 and 20 South African rand flat. In commodities, gold was down almost a tenth of a percent at $1,836 per ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up over 3.5% at $50.76.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsay Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening. It's 17 minutes before 6, and if you're listening to this update as a podcast, thank you for being part of the Isle of Man's most subscribed to news podcast. Your visit is very much appreciated. How would a no-deal Brexit affect the Isle of Man's cheese manufacturers? Well, despite proposed tariffs of about £170 per tonne of cheddar, Finlay MacLeod of the Isle of Man Creamery says a no-deal scenario doesn't spell all bad news.
It certainly will be a disadvantage for British cheese manufacturers in competition with Irish cheese manufacturers. The Irish dairy industry is absolutely massive and is actually a very large provider of cheese in the UK, which actually provides a bit of an opportunity. Irish cheese manufacturers have tended to be very sharp in their pricing and very large producers for a mass market. Tends to be for catering and for own label supermarket contracts. With the reciprocal tariff going on to EU cheese coming into the UK, that will actually provide a bit of an opportunity for British cheesemakers, including Isle of Man Creamery, to actually regain some of that market. So although we will be at a disadvantage exporting cheddar, there will actually be an opportunity of regaining part of the share of the UK market for cheddar.
And how does that compare currently, the amounts you export to the EU compared to the UK?
We produce, call it 2,000 tonnes of cheese a year on the Isle of Man. And to put it in perspective, the only parts of the EU we're exporting to at the moment is Ireland, Spain and Malta. And that accounts for about 40 tonnes a year. So it's a small part of our cheese production. A far bigger market, although we've only been in it for a couple of years, is Australia. And that is a market which won't be affected at all. Our US sales and our Canadian sales are probably not going to be affected at all either. The US exports that we do, they are part and parcel of an agreement with the EU, but there is going to be an agreement which will allow us to continue doing those without tariffs. So that should be unaffected by no deal Brexit.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai. In squash, and Team Aon claimed the Division A title as they won their final match of their league fixtures prior to the Christmas break, overcoming Stonart 4-1. All but one of the four matches finished 3-1, with Aon's Jason Creese, Mason McClarney and Christopher Cave ensuring their team got the win. Stonart's captain Steve Baker prevented the clean sweep by beating Liam Davies. The final match to be played was between Aon captain Robin Creese and Hamish Thornton, where Creese took the match in straight games. In hockey, and looking at the women's prem, Vikings A will be seeking 2 points to put them well out of reach of their rivals when they take on Valkyries A. Despite the lead Vikings A has, Valkyries A will be on a confidence high after beating Vikings last weekend in the indoor ladies final. Either way, the past few encounters between these two sides has been incredibly close, which means this weekend could go either way. Ramsey Town Commissioners is hosting a Santa run in Murrick Park next weekend. It's Ramsey's very own Santa Dash in aid of the Isle of Man Food Bank, and it's organised by Ramsey Commissioners, Ramsey Rugby Club and Northern Athletic Club. The 2.5-kilometre run is taking place at Murrick Park at 11 a.m. on Saturday the 19th of December. Entry is £5 per person and is open to those aged 16 years or over, and can be done online until Friday the 18th of December by following the link, which can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Further afield, and the BBC is looking into maternity in women's football and what it's like becoming a mother while playing. Earlier this month, FIFA approved new maternity cover regulations aimed at protecting female footballers. The rules entitle players to a minimum of 14 weeks of maternity cover on at least two-thirds of their salary, with clubs not meeting the new standards facing transfer bans. And Nanjing will hold the World Athletics Indoor Championships in 2023 after the 2021 event was postponed because of the pandemic. The Chinese city had been scheduled to host the championships in March 2020, but that was pushed back to 2021. Nanjing will now host the event 1 year after the next World Indoor Championships in Belgrade in 2022.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
12 minutes before 6, one departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way. The 4:50 to Liverpool went 6 minutes late and returns this evening at 6:40 on the roads. Finch Road in Douglas, the one-way system that is reversed was due to be going the other way fairly shortly. It's now been put back till the 29th of March next year. So make sure you remember. Station Park in Colby is closed for curb replacement and resurfacing. The phase closures for water main replacement and sewer infrastructure in Peel. At the moment on East Quay between Garage and Mariner's Wharf. From next Monday it'll be Mariner's Wharf to the Quayside Restaurant. Kingwood Road in Onken's got 24-hour lights for railway work. Also 24-hour lights at Ballyfestan Road in Port Erin for bus stop refurbishment. And 24-hour lights continue on Quarterbridge Road in Douglas. They should wrap up a week tomorrow. It's for drainage and curbing work.
Ignite your blue with Toyo Tyres. Solely available at Quayside Tyres and Car Service Centre, South Quay Industrial Estate.
People and school children lined the streets of Onken to say goodbye to 101-year-old Normandy veteran Hector Duff. A service of thanksgiving to celebrate his life took place at St Peter's Church. Tim Glover was there.
The flag draped over his coffin, and he could have picked from many, was a police flag. Chief Constable Gary Roberts.
It was the National Association of Retired Police Officers, and Hector was proud of being a police officer. We were proud of him. But it was very fitting, I think, and it was a fantastic tribute to the people who serve in the constabulary that he did do that. And he was very fond of us, and we will miss him enormously.
You spoke very fondly when news broke of his passing away, but what a way it was to go.
Oh, it was the way to go. At 101, he'd been with his friends and he'd had a meal and he'd had a pint, and then he simply went to sleep. And you know, we can all aspire to that, but after, he deserved that after the life he'd had, after the horrors he'd seen and after the service he'd given.
And how will you best remember him?
In a tribute I paid across the constabulary, I described him as twinkle-eyed. I said he was a twinkle-eyed networker. The twinkle in his eye was always there, and I guess even in the horrors he saw in the war, it was there. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, and I will miss him enormously.
Major Charles Wilson played his part in the service.
Yes, just simply to give the exhortation, but we gave it a la Hector as opposed to what we do normally.
Yeah, he was a very individual man, wasn't he?
Very much so, yes. We're very proud of him, and that service was a suitable send-off for him.
And the work will carry on in his honour now, won't it?
Yes, indeed it will. We're dedicated to the work that Hector was doing, and we will ensure that that continues, particularly in his name.
What do you think his biggest legacy will be? It's hard to pin down, really.
It's very hard to pin down, but his later work, the work for the veterans, I think is the one that would be remembered most.
And he had a great affinity with children as well.
He did indeed, and the children will miss him going round to all the schools and putting into context what war actually means.
We will remember.
We will remember him.
It's up to large corporations and governments to lead the way in tackling climate change, the view of the QE2 high school students on the Man in Line today. This is Rosie and Jasmine talking about the tactics of the climate protest group Extinction Rebellion.
Action definitely needs to be taken. Like, there's no doubt about it, but I feel like there are better ways to go about it.
Rosie, what's your thought on Extinction Rebellion?
I haven't heard much about Extinction Rebellion as...
climate change in general.
I know... Personally, I have taken part in like strikes that happened earlier this year. There are lots of young people I know that feel strongly about it, and the action does need to be taken because it is our future that's going to be affected. Because and everyone's present right now. Like, I saw that 2020 was one of the hottest years so far, along with 2016 and 2019.
Do you drive
so
a car?
I personally can't drive, so
okay. Will you be learning?
I do take the bus by. But not by choice, but...
Well, you'll be driving electric cars in the future. That's all there'll be to it. So, and as you quite rightly mentioned, you know, your generation is the one that will have to deal with all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking forward to it?
I mean, I think action needs to be taken now and in the future, but rather than putting the responsibility on the individuals, I think it is important to place it on the bigger corporations. Like, Coca-Cola was one of the main companies for carbon emissions this year, and I just like they're still producing plastic bottles and just simple things like that we just need to make clear aren't acceptable anymore, really, because larger companies just need to take more responsibility rather than saying, oh, normal people drive an electric car, take the bus, because yeah, that does build up, that is important, but we need to encourage more governments to put the infrastructure in place for better linked transport if we want people to use public transport as well.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
7 minutes to 6 on update. Europeans love Manx shellfish. 90% of it sold to EU markets, with the remaining 10% heading for the UK. With an agreement on fishing issues yet to be decided in the Brexit talks, some are concerned about the future of our access to markets. Nick Pledger is the MD of Island Seafair, which coordinates sales of Manx seafood abroad. So what will tariffs mean to Manx producers?
For us, obviously, we would have to pass that additional cost onto the buyers within France. So you'd be looking for majority of fresh produce like queenies and scallops, 8% duty, and for live lobster, 8%, I think, and then langoustine will be 12%. So it's not as high as some duties on other food products, but certainly it is significant.
Would it call into question the survival of the industry here, or would they be able to manage it?
I think we'll be able to manage it. It all depends what the powers that be decide, whether there's a deal or no deal. But I still think the consumption of the European consumer for shellfish and seafood, in particular produce from the Isle of Man, is so strong that I don't know where else they could find this product from to be able to meet their demands.
So are you quite optimistic that even if there is some sort of extra tariff placed on the products coming from the Isle of Man to the EU, you're confident that the appetite for it is still going to be strong and that people aren't going to turn elsewhere?
I think the appetite will be there. I think it'll be a bit of a bump at the start, come 1st of January. If there is no deal, for example, and we do have third country status, then we are going to have to provide additional documentation, export health certificates, for example, catch certificates. There's going to be a whole host of additional work and additional administration needed. Then there's going to be additional checks required at the borders, which is likely to slow things down, which, you know, when you're dealing with live and fresh product, obviously getting that product to market as quickly as possible is a very important thing. So there are going to be, you know, some difficult times, but I don't think it's going to be a showstopper.
That's it for Update tonight. Compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans and producer Ewan Corn. I'm Andy Wint. Update is back Friday evening, 5:30, and it's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker or Spotify. The details at manxradio.com or the App Store. And of course, remember to like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. WMAX